And we will begin with prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for this day, and we are thankful for the things that you have given us. I do pray, Father, that today we would understand our calling and responsibility in life to be your servant and to return to you everything that you have given to us. Father, we are not our own. We are bought with a price, the Scripture says. Let us all learn to do the things that you have called us to do with cheerfulness, happiness, and love. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Last week, we looked at returning thanks to God for everything that we see of any good or value in our lives we got from God. Everything that we are and everything that we have, we get from Him. And the responsibility that we have to honor God for everything that He has done for us. Well, it's very easy to honor God with our lips. It's very easy to say, God gave me this, God gave me that, God did this for me. And then take the very things that He gave to you and go and use them for something that is against Him. Go and use them on ourselves. Or give them away to another person. Let me explain what I'm talking about. I want you to imagine that you grew up on the wrong side of town. That everybody around you was poor. The houses were falling down. There was no house in your neighborhood where there was a mom and a dad who had been together all their lives. The kids were untaken care of. They roamed the streets like villains. And if you used any intelligence at all in your life, looking around you and looking into yourself, you would be able to see that your hope to live a good life didn't exist. The hope that you had to be happily married, to have kids, to live in a good house, to work a job, and to take good care of yourself and your family, you have no hope. Because your situation in life, you come from a family of poor people, but they're not just poor people. They're evil. They're drunks. They're drug addicts. You have no education. You didn't learn anything when you were growing up. And at this point, your future looks very bleak and dark. Let's say that you're in trouble with the cops. If they knew where you were, you would be in jail. And there's many, many other things that you have done that they don't know about, but if it was ever found out, you would be in jail. And you have borrowed money from people in the past, and you haven't been able to pay it back, and you owe money all over the place. Everything that you are in could be called nothing but a hole. You're in trouble. And imagine that from the other side of the town, the mayor's son meets you. And he hears your story. And he says, I'll fix every one of your problems for you and give you a chance to start completely fresh. The first thing he does with you is he takes you to a shopping center. And he buys you everything that any girl who grew up in the richest homes could have ever asked for or wanted. He buys you not a new dress, but a whole set, a whole closet full of clothes. From the socks on up, everything you could imagine, many pairs of them. If you want to be like a normal girl, he bought you 25 pairs of shoes that day. He buys you makeup, jewelry, everything that a girl wants to look pretty with. I'm not condoning those things. I don't think they're very necessary. But he buys you everything that a girl's heart could want. And then he gets you a car, a brand new car. And he didn't spare money. He didn't go buy the cheapest thing that Ford produces. He went out and he bought you something that only a rich person would ever buy. And then he takes you to his house and he shows you his house. And he's living in a mansion. And the cupboards are full of the best kinds of food. Everything imaginable that you could want is there. And sitting down in his living room, he asks you if you'll marry him. And you say yes. And you get married. And things only continue up, 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 and up. Then he goes and he finds your mom and your dad. And he moves them out of the dirty side of the city and he buys them a house. Through his influence, he gets them a job. And he pays off all their debts. And he takes care of everything that anybody could ever want. He gets you out of the legal trouble you're in. And step by step by step by step, he takes a life that was destroyed and gives it every bit of opportunity that you could imagine. Now I want you to be this girl for a moment, or watch her if you don't want to be her. And she at this point decides that she is an upper class woman in high society with everything that a person wants. She's got a bank account and everything she needs to be anything she wants to be. And she goes a few blocks down and runs off with one of the other guys in her prestigious area of town, leaving her husband and everything that he did for her. She runs off with him. Though the only opportunity that she ever had for that guy ever to pay her one drop of attention was given her by her husband. She runs off with him. Now, does anybody feel like she's a jerk? You know, this is exactly what God feels like when he looks down on his people. And he has done everything for them that they have. Everything that they own came from him. And every good thing that has happened in their lives, he gave them. And then they love the world. Then they play with the world. They find the devil's entertainment fun. They play in sin. And God looks at himself as the husband and his church as the wife and the world as another man. And God's church is continually out with another man in spite of everything that God has done for them. I didn't make this illustration up. This illustration is given in very detailed form in Ezekiel chapter 16, which we'll go to later. But this morning I want to look at a little bit of what the world does to us. and the world and the devil, being a pair today, are working together towards the same end in our lives. We'll begin in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And you drop down to verse 10, and we read, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." This morning I want to tell you, guys, that the world and the devil together are a thief and a robber. And they want what you have. Everything that God has given to you, they want to take from you. There's three ways for a person to get things. Not all three of these ways work, because there are some things. I mean, not all three of these ways work in all situations, because there are some things that you're not supposed to have. But in basic, there are three ways for a person to get something. One is to go get it. Go make it. Go work for it. Go be the author of it. Go create it. Go spend yourself to create this thing that you want to have. You can then you got it. It's yours. The other of the three ways is to have somebody give it to you. Honda makes nice cars. Okay, I couldn't make a car. If I made a car, I wouldn't want to drive it. It wouldn't be any fun. But If the owner of Honda wanted to give me one of their vehicles, they could. I'm surprised they haven't. I would if I was them. But that would be another way for me to get something, is if somebody gave it to me. And the third way of the three ways that you can get things is to go steal it from somebody else who has it. Go steal it. God is the owner of everything that you can see with your eyes. One day, God stood on nothing and talked, using nothing but his voice. He said, "Let there be," and he created everything that we have on this earth. And he owns it. And the devil stood one day, looking into the face of God, and he said, "I want what God has." But the devil could not stand next to God and create his own world, because the devil didn't have that power. The devil couldn't stand and say, "Let the earth be, let the sun be, let the stars be, let the trees be," and then go and create life. The devil couldn't do that, because the devil wasn't God. But so the devil had the problem that he couldn't go make what God made. The devil had another problem, that God wasn't going to give it to him. And so he resorted to number three of the three possible ways to get things. And he decided he was going to steal it. And so he did. He's been working on it now for 6,000 years since God created the world. He came into the garden that God had created. And he walked among the fruit trees that God had made. He crawled over God's grass. And he went up to the woman that God had made. With the sun shining through the branches of the tree, the sun that God had made. He walked through everything that God had made, and he comes up to the woman. And he offered to give her something. The devil always works this way. The world is always working this way. The world never comes to you and says, I want everything you have. The world comes to you and says, I will give you something. But it is always a lie. The world will not give you anything. The world has come to take what you have. And the devil had not come to give Eve something. The devil had come to take something from God. The devil had come to be Eve's God when God was supposed to be Eve's God. The devil had come to become the new ruler of God's kingdom. He came to steal Eve. He came to steal her heart. He came to steal her worship. He came to steal her obedience. He came to steal everything that God had created and given to her that she owed back to God. He came to steal it. But he didn't come and tell Eve he had done that. He came to Eve and told her he was going to give her something. And he did. He gave her a piece of fruit. And in trade for that piece of fruit, she lost her soul. She lost her life. She lost her righteousness. She lost her peace. She lost her comfort. She lost everything that you can possibly imagine that God had given to her that was of any value. She lost it. Can you imagine what a marriage Adam and Eve could have had with Eve having the opportunity to be married to a man who was perfect? You know, she could have been married for 1,000 years and Adam never would have snarled at her once. He never would have scowled at her once. He never would have frowned at her once. And in fact, he never would have even told her a hard thing to do. He wasn't even there to boss her around. She had it made, and she lost it. For one single piece of fruit, she gave everything she had to the devil. Because he is a thief and a robber. He is a thief and a robber. Now I want you to notice something about the thief and the robber. It said in verse 10, he cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. There are three things that the devil wants to do to every person that's in this room. There are three things. The devil is walking around the face of the earth right now, looking at the 7 billion people who God made. He's looking at every one of them with very specific intentions to do three things to them. To steal, to kill, and destroy. And it is in that order. First, to steal. The devil has come to take everything that God has given to you, that you owe back to God for himself. The devil has come to take your will, your love, your servanthood, your stuff, and use it to build a kingdom because he said he was going to exalt his throne above the stars of God. And you know, the fact of the matter is the devil is weak and he has no power to do what God did. He has no power to get himself a kingdom like God did. And the only way that the devil can get himself a kingdom like God did is to steal it. So he's come to take it. He wants you. He wants you as one of his subjects. He wants you as one of his warriors. He wants you in his army. He wants you in his household. He wants you not because he loves you and he's going to give you something. He wants you because he is building a kingdom and he can't do it without you. The devil has to have you in his kingdom to succeed. Because he's trying to build a kingdom where one day He's going to sit on this earth with the whole world wondering after him. That's what he wants, the whole world. As long as there's a person alive on this earth that gives glory to God, the devil has not succeeded in the kingdom that he is trying to create. He wants you. So he has come to steal, but he has not come to protect. He has not come to take the people who he has come to steal from and give them anything, or offer them long life or a place in his kingdom or anything. He has simply come to use up everything they have and kill them. And then when he's done, to destroy. Now you say, if he has stolen everything I have and he has killed me, what can he destroy? You know what? Every person who serves God has a legacy. Every person who serves God has a building. You have a life. You have had an influence. You have built something. And it is your work that the devil finally wants to destroy and leave on this earth not one vestige of anything that came from God. That's what he wants. How can the devil get that? You know, if the devil were to come and to be completely honest with everybody about what he was doing, he would get very, very, very few followers. But he doesn't come that way. He comes and he lies. He comes and he lies and he says that he's going to give you something. He's going to do something for you. He's going to make you happy. But he did not come for any other reason than to consume everything that God had given you in his interests. In Isaiah chapter 14, we have some words in Isaiah chapter 14 that are very prophetic of the devil's plans, or prophetic. They weren't maybe prophetic because the devil was already working on them in, to some degree, though very prophetic in another sense because he hasn't finished the job. In Isaiah chapter 14, in verse 12, we have the devil's plan very clearly spelled out. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This has been the devil's purpose since the world was created. Since he walked into the Garden of Eden and stole from that first girl that God ever made, he stole from her what God had given to her. He stole it. It is his plan, it is his purpose that he will reign over this earth like God as the supreme ruler. He will bring his throne up to be an equal with God. This is prophesied actually in more places in the scriptures too. It's interesting to note. He says, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. There's one other place in the scriptures where the scriptures talks about something sitting in the sides of the north. And you know what happens to be Jerusalem? In Psalm 48, Jerusalem is in the sides of the north. Do you know what the devil said here? Does this ring a bell to anybody? What's the mount of the congregation? That's the Temple Mount. That's the mount in Jerusalem. where the devil has every plan on earth of one day showing up on that mount in the temple, telling the world he is God. That is his plan. It is the only thing he is doing. It is the only thing he is working for. And it is the only reason that he wants anybody on earth, is so that they can further that cause of his. So that one day he's going to walk in Jerusalem, he's going to walk up to the Mount of the Congregation, and he's going to stand there in the temple, and he's going to tell the world he's God. And the world is going to worship him. He's a thief. He's a thief. And then this is why the Bible says in James, "Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" And he calls us adulterers and adulteresses when we make friends with this world, who under the power of Satan is working towards helping the devil bring that kingdom about. Jesus said that a man was either gathering with him or scattering abroad. We don't have the sinners who worship the devil on one side and the people who serve God on the other side, and then a huge mass that we call the world that's neutral. That they love God, but they don't always do what's right. There's no such thing. You are either on fire for God, doing everything that he says in the book, or you are a part of the kingdom of the devil, who is one day going to reign over this earth for a very short time, before Jesus returns and crushes his kingdom. Jesus said to the ungodly when speaking to him, to them, he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." Have you ever realized the fact that the devil is farming just like a farmer farms? When a farmer gets a bunch of animals on his farm, he's not doing that for the health and benefit of the animals. He's doing that because he is going to get work out of the animals, or he is going to eat the animals, or what have you. He's got those animals for himself. And the devil has got every human being on this earth that is not a Christian working for him, accomplishing his job of destroying the name of God on earth so he can be the king. And he does it through many, many, many different tactics. Some of the tactics he uses are religion and church. Because the devil doesn't care if you believe in religion, and the devil doesn't care if you believe in Jesus. The devil doesn't care if you read the Word of God, as long as you aren't going to do what God says in the book. As long as you aren't going to give your allegiance to him. You know, I've spoken on this subject a couple of times here before, on the fact that the devil follows God around to find his kingdom, because the devil doesn't have the power to accomplish it. You know, the Christian movement, the missionary movement that has happened in the last couple of hundred years on this earth, is the only possibility that exists in the devil's kingdom at all, that the devil could ever sit on this earth and reign over the whole world. There is no way. The devil does not have it in his power. He does not have the capability to bring about a one world government if it were not for the work of the church, saving the lost, building a society, turning man into something that the devil can then come and steal. Because every good thing that happens on this earth comes from God. And when the devil gets his hand on human being, where the devil reigns the most on this earth, you find absolute heathenism where they do not build houses. They don't work jobs. They don't know technology. They don't learn. They're uneducated. They exist by taking care of the one thing that human beings need, food and shelter. They exist. And you find those people to be the kind of a people that you would never be able to take anywhere in accomplishing anything at all until the gospel of Jesus Christ comes riding on the back of a missionary. How beautiful are the feet of those that proclaim the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes riding on the back of a missionary, and people spend their lives and they die to bring Christ to those people. And after the gospel penetrates those dark, dark, dark hearts, and the people begin to get some of the light of heaven in their life, and they begin to learn what God is, and they begin to learn how to work, and they begin to learn how to be at peace with people, and a society forms. And then those people begin to learn hard work produces things, and they become men and women of means, and they become accomplished people. And society can come out of places where Christianity has been. And then the devil walks in the tracks of God. He follows the missionaries in, and he steals. He steals that work that was done for himself. America was a nation. America and England were two nations that, unlike anything in any of history besides the Jews in the Old Testament time, were nations that followed God and served Him. And these nations, these two nations, America and England, together have done more to help the devil than anything else that anyone has ever done anywhere, because they have paved a way. They have paved a highway that he couldn't make, but he can walk once it's made. And now the devil is working in America like he has never in history before to take a nation that is of God and steal it. He wants the whole thing. He wants the whole thing in his cause to bring his kingdom. We see that happening in the presidents that we have in our country. That it seems like though they are not devil worshipers, it seems like everything that they want to do is working towards bringing the devil's kingdom in. But you know, those people wouldn't even be able to be the president of a United States of America if it had not been for the incredible gifts that God had given to the people of this country because they had one time served Him. Now, if we go to Ezekiel chapter 16, it's a long chapter. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read some of it. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed thee, washed away thy blood from thee, and anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and girded thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and put bracelets upon thine hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by, his it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and placed the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. And tookest thy broidered garments, and coverest them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savour, and thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hast born unto me, and these thou hast sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this thy whoredoms a small matter? Thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare, and wast polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and has opened thy feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. That's as far as we need to read. There's another whole pile of verses. It goes up through verse 63. Begging the nation of Israel to come back to God, to remember what he had done for them, and to give up their idolatry. In fact, he goes so far as to tell them, thine elder sister, verse 46, thine elder sister is Samaria, and she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and the younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if it were, as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. God looks down at the nation of Jerusalem, the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, and he looks at the people who he did everything for, who he gave more to than anybody else, and whom he had taken for his own peculiar people. And he says, you have done worse than all the nations around you, the wicked, sinful nations around you that I never did anything for. You've done worse than all of them. Because God had given them so much more The devil came in. And he looked. And he saw the blessings that God had bestowed on the people, one after another. He had made a nation of people that knew God, a nation of people that was prosperous, a nation of people that had been lifted up above all the other nations on the earth. And the devil said, I want what they have for my kingdom. And he came in and he stole it. He stole it. There is the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 11. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he said, he goes through dry places seeking rest. Then he says, I will go and return to my house whence I came out of. And when he comes back, he finds it swept and garnished. Now the fact of the matter is, the devil, the unclean spirit, can't sweep the house. But Jesus can. The unclean spirit can't garnish the house. But Jesus can. And when Jesus comes to that life and he gives them something and he gets rid of the devil out of their life and he begins to plant in them the things that only God can give. And then the devil comes back and he sees that house. He wants it. And he tiptoes away silently and he says, this house now is very attractive. My kingdom just grew. He says he goes and he finds seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they come and dwell there. Steal. They steal. Because God enlarged the house. God made the house better. God cleaned the house up. And now there's more to steal. Now we can move in here eight strong to accomplish the work of the devil's kingdom. We have the story in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son. He comes to his father and he says, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So it says the father divided to them, his two sons, his living. He takes everything that he has, and the father does this. God will do that here for any person who's sitting here today. He'll take everything that he has and he'll give it to you. The Bible says that if he spared not his only begotten son, how shall he not much more freely give us all things? God will give us everything. And so the prodigal son comes to the father and he says, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And so the father gives him half of everything that he has. And the prodigal son takes his stuff. He journeys with it to a far country. But you know, the people in the far country didn't immediately sit down with him and say, you are an amazing person. I'd like to be your servant. Can I be your financial advisor? I want to ensure that you prosper in this new country and that you have a long-lasting life among us with a good house and a good income and a good business. And a good wife and good children and good opportunities. They didn't come to him like that. They came and they said, he's got something. And all of a sudden, this man has all the friends in the world because God gave him something. But he didn't have it for long. He didn't have it for long. He lost it all. They stole it all. I can't believe how many times I have to tell young people who've known something about religion and known something about the teaching of the Bible and known something about God. And it seems like they cannot get it through their head that the world is an enemy to them. They can't get it through their head that people who laugh at Christianity and mock the scriptures aren't somebody that they can be friends with. They think they can run around with people who do things that everybody else in the church says are wrong, but they don't personally see them to be wrong. And they think that this friendship they have with these people is going to help them out. They have a lot of fun doing these things. And they have no idea that every single one of those people is a thief. Part of the devil's kingdom, drawing them away from God, stealing everything that they own. And just a short time later, the prodigal son, after he lost everything that God had given him, he ends up with nothing, and he ends up with no friends. When what God has given to you is gone, you are of no value in Satan's kingdom anymore. There's nothing you can accomplish for the devil anymore. You have nothing left to do. If there's nothing to steal, it's now time to kill. And when the killing is done, then we will destroy. God has given to every person in this room incredible blessings. You have blessings by knowing who God is. You have blessings that you can hold a Bible in your hand and you can read God's definition of the difference between right and wrong. You have blessings in the fact that you were able to come to church this morning. You have blessings in the fact that you know Christian people who actually are there for your benefit instead of there to use you. You have blessings in the fact that you are living today in the United States of America and you have all sorts of freedoms. They all came from God. And if there is anybody here who has any doubt about it, if you have any other person in your life that is going to claim anything from you that belongs to God, it is time to sever all ties with that person. It is time to be done with that person. We don't need the kind of friendships that try to steal something from us that belong to God. Because we owe God our lives and our souls and our health and our zeal and devotion. We owe God everything. We don't want to support the devil in his work of bringing about his kingdom. And we don't need his fun that he offers to us and tells us his good, wholesome things. We don't need anything but God's Word and what God's Word offers to us. We don't need anything that the world holds out as beautiful. We don't need anything that the world holds out as good. We don't need anything that God does not hold out to us from his Word. If God tells you to do something in the Word, then go do it. If you didn't find God leading you to do something, then it's of the world. We don't need the world. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And many times, many people don't know they've been deceived. They don't know. They have no idea who that serpent is, who is sitting there in their living room, offering them a beautiful piece of fruit that God created. He looks so innocent. He looks like such a sweet snake, being such a good friend to you, trying to offer you lunch with the creation of God. But you know, there are some things that God made, and there are some things that God made that are holy things, pure things, things that have no taint of sin to them, that God looked down at you and He said through His Word, don't touch it. He did. There are many things that God made that He said you can't have. Every single thing that God gave to another person, He said you can't even want. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lust. There are many good things that you can't have, but there is plenty of good things that you can have to satisfy the soul of any human being so that they are like that person who has joy unspeakable and full of glory, drinking at the living fountain of water. There's only one thing that I ask from anybody. When I'm teaching the Word of God, there's only one thing that I want from anybody. I want your absolute devotion in an absolute zealous manner to be given with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength to nothing but God. That's all we ask. That's what God requires of us. It's what He asks of us. It's for our benefit that we give it. And turning from all else, like they say in the wedding vows, turning from all else will be for God only. That's what will make a strong church. That's what will make a strong Christian. That's what will enable the gospel to continue to reach out to the rest of the world in saving power that only those who walk with God will ever accomplish. And as I have said this before, you guys can disagree with this if you want to, because this is not the Bible. What are my personal opinions? I don't think the devil is going to succeed in establishing his kingdom on this earth with the way the earth is being run right now. I don't think that there's power enough on this earth to bring the devil's kingdom into place without God first doing a much greater work of salvation than we have seen to date yet on this earth. Some of us sit back and we get discouraged because we feel like it's very difficult to do the work of God. People are unresponsive. It's difficult to preach the gospel. We don't get an ear. There's closed doors all over. People's hearts are hard. We're satisfied in this land of plenty. I understand all those feelings. I feel all those feelings all the time too. But you know, I really don't think that the devil is going to succeed in bringing his kingdom about until God first paves a greater road for him to the ends of the earth of salvation, where man is lifted to a higher state. Because the only way that the devil is going to get a kingdom is that he is going to steal it. The devil is not going to create a kingdom. He doesn't have that much power. He's going to steal it. And he's going to steal it from people who got something from God. Now it is true that the ungodly get things from God too. The Bible says that God makes His sun to rise on the just and the unjust, and He makes His rain to come down on the just and the unjust. The ungodly, the worst heathen, the worst people on earth get gifts from God. But the devil isn't looking right now for sun and rain. He's looking for a kingdom that he wants to exalt above the stars of God. He's looking for a kingdom where he wants to plant his feet on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, where God put his name. He wants to put his feet there and reign over the entire world, with the entire world knowing him personally and giving their worship to him. He's not going to create that. He's going to steal it. Those of us who know God, let us remain faithful in devoting our lives to God, giving Him everything that we have, reserving none of our lives at all for the wicked world, for the devil, and for his ends. Amen.